I'm feeling better now.
Feeling good?
Yeah.
Feeling
yeah, much good. Better. Yeah, that's good. That was the biggest dump I've ever seen anyone take. And everyone was watching.
It was great.
It was good. Yeah, the round of applause was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to Seven Land Hand Extra. It's brought to you by Good Games St. James. And this week I'm joined by Aaron for something different.
Yeah, that's me. That's
a couple of kilos lighter.
Oh yeah, that was an enjoyable experience.
Yeah, obviously. We also have Sam Mavrantonis.
Yeah,
hello. How was that? Was that
yeah,
all right?
It was great. Yeah. For the first time, someone new has actually learnt my last name and got it right the first time.
Because I wrote it phonetically. Yeah. And now we could go over to Aaron in the phonetic language.
Yeah, that's me. I'm the linguistic expert on this podcast. That's me. All right.
English magician.
English magician.
That's me. Yeah, so that's it, isn't it? It's TCG, MTG, JTMS, EOT, FOFIW, MTGO, MODO, WTIF. What does it all mean?
What the
We're
is
here?
Fuck?
You know the last one.
Yeah.
The last one is definitely what the is fuck.
Yeah, yes. What the is fuck. Indeed.
Oh, thank God it's Friday. But that's not magic related.
That's
because
not
magic. Those are all magic sort of anagrams and initialisms, aren't they? And that's what we hear. Seven Land Hand Extra, all about magic.
Talking about Magic the Gathering.
Magic the Gathering, sorry.
The Gathering of Magic.
You can't just call it magic because that's a word.
Yeah.
And
that's the thing that happens when people are like, oh, what did you go to this place for? Because I travel a little bit for it now. They go, what did you go for? I was like, a magic tournament. And they're like,
yeah.
What? You did?
Do you have those cute little white gloves?
Yeah, you got like little gloves and you have a competition where you pull stuff out of hats the best. And I'm like,
what's your rabbit called, Aaron?
Frederick.
Interesting.
Do you sideboard him or is just main deck him every time?
I sideboard like bits and pieces of the rabbit.
Yeah.
Two in the main, two of him in the board.
Mm. Yeah.
Again, that doesn't mean anything to people that don't.
I passed the pet shop today and that's all they're selling. They're selling rabbits. So, obviously, magic is picking up.
It's not dog season. It's very difficult to grow dogs this time of year.
Yeah, it is. They're hard. Yeah. They need vitamin and sun and fertilizer. Yeah, so because it's the first magic episode, mm-hmm. first like Seven Land Hand Extra, we're saying, how did we all start magic? We're easing people into it, aren't we? Because mm-hmm. there might be some people that haven't played magic before. They're tuning in. Mm-hmm. And, they want to know something about it.
Yeah, I'd like to think that people who don't play Magic will be able to listen to this and be able to learn or find out some stuff that they wouldn't necessarily know. And it's a good way to kind of ease into us talking about the topic because we're going to be talking about all sorts of games. But Magic's going to be kind of constantly there because that's our main business that we do in the store here. So, yeah, it's going to be good that we have a little thing to talk about, a good way to introduce it and everything.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. We brought Sam in today because Sam's very, very fresh to the magic
scene. Talk about a rabbit in the headlights. He was literally leaving the store.
We roped him in with one of those canes.
Yeah, had a big night out with his girlfriend planned. He had his suit on.
Yeah.
The Lotus Esprit in the car park looked excellently maintained and looking clean. He just had it.
He's very rich.
He is very rich.
I got paid.
We're hoping to get something out of this after like, a few tips thrown our way.
But we got him in specifically because he's very fresh to the game, but very involved, very active in the community
he's
already.
He's very fresh.
Yes. And he's just fresh.
I'm sitting down with him here in the pod.
I can smell. He smells like flowers.
He does.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Flower-smelling guy.
Yeah. So the things that we're going to be discussing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Magic-shing.
Yeah.
Magic the beginning. How we got started, why we got started, what keeps us playing. Some of our favorite things that we've experienced during playing Magic and some of our goals for the future of playing Magic. Because Magic's not just a game like Monopoly where you just...
Don't mention the M word.
God damn.
From now on, the M word is magic.
It's magic.
It's magic. One of the best things that ever happened to me once playing Magic was I had like this really sneeze that I really wanted to get out. Mm-hmm. And I just looked at the lights and I delivered the sneeze and I went, that was one of the best sneezes I ever had. Is that the sort of stuff we're going to be talking
about? Yeah, that's exactly the sort of things.
Awesome, right? I'll make notes while you're talking.
Yeah, sneezes.
Sneezes.
Great sneezes.
Sweet sneezes.
Yeah.
Sneezes, farts, and burps.
Yeah, there was that time that guy farted and he went, oh, this is terrible. And I couldn't smell it and it was fine. You know, so I was like, man, I just really... I,
Was that one of the best experiences you've ever experiencing?
No,
something,
it's though. Not. Yeah. No, we should talk about the game itself, and because okay,
we're just going to be chancing that. Otherwise, like, people will be coming down. They'll be playing, and they'll be thinking, "When's that guy going to fart? Or am I going to feel like a sneeze?" And it's not going to be the same experience. So we should talk about the actual game.
Sneezing while playing Magic is great, but that's just because sneezing is great.
Yeah.
At any point.
Is
in time.
Is it though?
Yeah. Don't you enjoy sneezes?
Not particularly.
Are you serious?
Not
I love, like, you know when there's a sneeze coming, you're like, oh, it's coming.
I find it, I feel awkward.
You feel awkward?
Yes.
Just like, oh, I could sneeze.
It's on my hands.
I used to have, like, a top 10 body expulsion list. I still reckon that number one is when you're really drunk and you have that vomit. It's still the best.
Oh, yeah, they're by far the best.
It's way more relieving.
That is disgusting.
It's a great feeling.
It's a great feeling. And you also, because I always think, well, this is a day at the gym I don't have to go to. It's like a kilo of liquid that I just vomited.
And, don't endorse bulimia.
Oh, don't we?
Why not?
It's great. It helps you
sucking back an 800 liter monster.
It's not that much. It's a little bit smaller than that. It's got a pop-top lid, so I can save some for later.
I was going to call it a 9-inch monster over there that I'm staring at.
Aaron's just on the 9-inch monster.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Aaron's sitting on a 9-inch monster. All right.
It's my weekend.
Remember when we talked about fatties in zombies?
No, forget about it. Oh, fatties. Magic.
Magic. So, where did you start, Aaron?
I've got a few things written down. Magic.
No, you haven't. This is all off the top of your
head. This is all off the top of my head.
There's no notes.
There's no preparation.
I have not written anything down.
Yeah, that's good.
I actually haven't.
That's because you began about 15 minutes ago.
I just picked up the game.
New to this podcast game. When I started playing... No, when I first saw Magic, I was living in England. I've only lived in Australia for 9 years or so. When I was in England, kids would be playing this game, and I wasn't old enough to really understand what was going on, or I didn't know that it was a game that was anything different to, like, Pokemon cards or whatever. But when I went around to a friend's house, and he had the very first edition of one of the computer games of it, and we played it, and I remember, like, summoning goblins and these orcs and stuff, and I just, like, had no idea what was going on, didn't understand the mechanics of it, but I just really liked the hand. I liked the randomness of it, and this is all kind of blurry for me. I only really remembered this a few months ago, but there was something about it that really intrigued me, and it wasn't until I was at school in Australia that I saw people playing it at lunchtime, and I was like, wow, that's something that I haven't seen for a long time. And I was kind of interested in doing it, but
so
when
you
I
didn't,
was in...
you didn't play it the first time, when you first saw it, you
no,
just saw
I
people
saw,
doing
I saw
it.
Other people playing it.
Yeah.
But there was something about it that intrigued me, and in high school I wanted to play, but I was kind of one of the people that would more make fun of people that were doing that.
Yeah.
That's probably not good. But they were all playing it at lunchtime, and I'd be like, oh, you're playing Magic, but then I'd be like, I kind of want to play that. It looks pretty fantastic. And I didn't know about Magic Online or any other ways to play apart from the cards. Didn't have a heap of money to spend on cards or anything either. So it wasn't until after I finished high school, one of my friends just bought, like, a bulk lot off eBay of just crap, like what we would call junk now.
Yeah.
And it was just...
But it's not like that, is it? I can remember we had a mate of ours just gave us, like, a suitcase full of cards.
Yeah.
And we were just like, oh, that guy's a maniac. Yeah. He just gave us all these cards. It's like, why would he do that? Shut up. Let's just keep them and play. And we just, like, built decks left,
and
right,
and
center.
You give people 100 cards now and you just don't think anything of it. You're like, take it. I don't care. And they're like... Are you sure? What if one of these is going to be good in the future? And you're like, no, it's just not. I absolutely 100% know it's not. But when you start out, like, a suitcase full of cards is just endless possibilities.
Yeah.
And we started just building these terrible decks. I remember building this life gain deck that I thought was the shit.
So what year was this? Whenabouts was this for release we're talking about?
Release. This was just Legacy cards.
So what year did you...
So I started in 2000 and just after I graduated. Maybe year 12.
Yeah, the listeners at home. Just after Aaron graduated.
Yeah. 2008, that was.
Right.
So I started playing at the end of year 12. And it's been five years now, I would say. I'd play on and off. My parents are Christian and didn't like the witchcraft and wizardry, but I quickly... Told
You're
them
only
to
allowed
shove
to
it.
Have their own kind of magic.
Yeah. God is
magic. Bible magic, and then all the rest of it's not allowed.
All the rest of it is evil magics. And so And then one day, I very specifically remember we were talking about... we had our collection in a little cardboard box that would take to everyone's house that we went to.
Yeah.
And someone had to carry it wherever we went, like on public transport and shit. This was before we could all drive.
And I used to have that as well. I used to be like, I used to take every card that I owned.
Every card, everywhere. And you see people come into the store.
They still do that now. Yeah, it's very odd.
Yeah.
But that's all right. Because see, it's so exciting when you start, though, isn't it? I mean, it does change. You go through phases, don't you, where... Mm-hmm. Although I still enjoy opening a booster pack to this day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know a lot of people don't, but that could be the vintage of player that I am. Mm-hmm. I still, like, love opening them. And, like, I can go to the cafe, have a coffee with my mates, and we'll just get, like, a booster pack each and just open it up. And we'll just talk about the cards that are in there. Yeah. And it's like, oh, this one's cool, this one sucks, I like this artwork, or, you know, and, I, you know, you see people open them up, just flick straight to the Mythic Ray. You know, I like to
literally throw the rest in the bin.
Yeah. I just like to go through them one at a time, building up to that, you know, Mythic or Rare. And
you get a good uncommon, and you're maybe like, it's a foil. It's already made, And there's a foil at the back as well.
Yeah, that's it's got a good thrill about it. So it's really cool. Now, I started around,
When did you start playing Magic, Dave?
When did I start? It was, I can remember going in and looking at the Avacyn Restored boxes and having no idea what to do.
Yeah.
And going up to the counter of the shop that they were in and saying, I want to play Magic, how do I go about it? And they were like, I don't know, just buy any of that shit there. So... my first experience with Magic, it was, I'm not going to say where, I'm just going to describe the process I went through. I went down some stairs into a smelly vestibule. I would see people sitting there, one of them was probably you, and I would go, what a pack of losers. I'm going straight past all of this to the hardcore gaming stuff, which is so much more highbrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go through and pick up a board game of some sort and whatnot, and then bag that up and quickly run past and through the vestibule.
Scurry out.
Yeah, holding my breath.
Yeah.
In disbelief that these people even existed.
Mm.
And I can remember actually saying something along the lines of, I will never play that game. Mm. It's just not, I mean, who would do it? It was like, it was just, I'd drawn a line in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, fast forward years. Oh, that was just ongoing. You fast forward a period of time, though. And, a couple of mates. It only takes a couple of mates just to go, Magic, I'm doing Magic. Well, why don't we try Magic? So it's like, that's
not really something you can do by yourself either. So if there's one person that sees a deck or they see a thing that they're like, man, I want to play this, whether it's the computer game or whatever, you need someone to play with. Otherwise, it's just useless.
Well, there's a bit of momentum there. It's like, we're doing this. It's like, all right, I'm in. Play. I'll be in on that.
Yeah.
So we got them, and immediately I was kind of... I was kind of amazed because the artwork in the cards was a lot of, because I'd done some digital art, and a mate of mine had done a lot of digital art, and he had the little magazines there, and he was saying, oh, yeah, look at this, this guy, he's doing Magic cards. And I was it was like a Raymond Swanland. So we're looking at Raymond Swanland in the magazine going, this guy's awesome. And then, hang on a minute, I could play with this card with a Raymond Swanland picture on it. Yeah. I don't care, like I said this last week, I don't care what the text does. I don't care how to play it. I'm holding a Raymond Swanland picture in my hand. And how awesome is that? And then just hooking into flavor text, adding to the story. Mm-hmm. And I like a narrative. I'm a bit of a writer. So just for the punch that it delivered within a little space, you've got like this cool picture, a cool title, and then the flavor text kicks in, and then when cards behave like the thing they're representing as it was just it was a way. And I can remember it was Dave, actually. I went around Dave's place and he'd bought a deck builder's kit and a fat pack, and I thought he'd lost his mind. this is like the biggest risk you've ever taken, Now it's just like every release, it's just like, give me at least one booster box.
It's a booster box. You've got to get a fat pack. Designer box in there.
Yeah.
Keep some of the rares. You buy some random boosters. Might buy an intro deck or an event deck or something as well.
Yeah.
It's just every release. It's just, you don't even question it anymore.
Yeah. Sam. What's your lead in? Oh, okay. Did you walk in to buy an intro deck and start?
No. a lot of people, I went to a place called PCYC when I was going to primary school. It's like an after school daycare. And I saw a lot of the older kids playing there.
Mm.
And, yeah, I was interested, but I was like much younger and they just sort of like snubbed me off whenever I took interest. So I was always interested in the game. And then once I'd gotten a bit older, just finished high school and Innistrad had just come out. And I begged my mum to take me to go to a place in the city that is under the ground. And
It smells.
And
is there a vestibule there?
The
answer is yes.
Yes. And I bought a deck builder kit and a fat pack. And I took it back and I built some random decks and played with my girlfriend or whatever. But all my friends at the time didn't have an interest in the game.
No, I'm not going to say that. You have to say it now. Deck builder's kit, fat pack. He took him home and then he played with his girlfriend. Unrelated to magic. Didn't open the deck builder's tool.
Yeah, we just left them there.
It's magic time.
And then he threw away the fat pack at the deck builder's toolkit.
Because he had a girlfriend.
Yeah, she said, can you move those off the bed? They're in my uncomfortable lump in my lower back.
But I had no one to play with properly. She wasn't very interested in it. So I just...
That still sounds bad.
Sure. Okay.
Trying to involve it in the foreplay. Did not work.
Yeah, it didn't.
No.
She was not interested in cardboard laying around the bed.
No.
And then like a couple of months ago, my friend Wyatt sent me a picture of his like playing Magic with Ash.
So this is all within this calendar year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you've had a pretty big year.
At the end of July.
At the end of July.
Yeah.
Man, this guy moves quick, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Because we should say, Sam's a rookie champion of the universe.
Yeah, rookie champion.
Yeah.
He's won a few. He's been moving up the ranks of Perth Magic players.
Yeah.
He's been slowly proving himself to the more established players and beating them on a fairly consistent level.
Man, so
he beats me much more than I would like to admit
and
as well.
And some good players, you reckon, as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Occasionally, I suppose.
Oh, what's that, David? Oh, magic burn.
Slip that in.
That's what she says.
So back to Sam's girlfriend.
And then I just came down to the good games when I was looked up on the internet just where to go to play in a tournaments and stuff because I was interested and at FNM and stuff and found good games and it was just like 500 meters down the road.
So what were you using to build your deck with though? Because it sounds like you didn't have a big circle of friends initially. So you're constructing your decks based on what? Was it you were hitting the internet and seeing what people were using?
No, I was just using what I had.
I know, but like, you've got like 600 cards. It's like, yeah, which 60 are you taking into battle? How'd you get to that point?
We came in and I realized that it was a little more serious than I thought. Because, you know, we just play like a bunch of one-offs, like random rares or whatever we got in boosters that we got.
I loved that though. Like, you know, you open a booster and you're like, this is going in my deck, like immediately.
Yeah.
It costs 8, it has 5 power, I don't give a shit, it's going in my deck immediately.
That's like a ghoul, like we said with Ghoultree last week when we were talking about it. We saw Ghoultree, it was like a 10-10. It's like, this is the card! This is going to win me
magic.
Everything. Oh, 10 power for one card!
Yeah. And then I met Aaron and Dave and they explained to me quickly that that's not actually how decks work.
Yeah.
And then I just, you know, got to know P, Jax and Anthony and that, and they just put me in the right direction, and then ever since then, I've sort of gone upon myself and with Aaron mainly to build decks and whatnot.
Yeah, I thought starting more like an Innistrad block era, like I hooked into vampires and werewolves, and then the angels came along and tried to give them the smackdown, and it seemed like quite ordered, and the game and the card mechanics seemed quite logical to me.
Mm-hmm.
Then when Ravnica started, I don't know if it was because I thought I'd learnt the game, and then now it felt like I have to start all over again with a whole bunch of new mechanics. Or was that quite dense on that sort of stuff?
Like Return to Ravnica, they were trying to
from Ravnica.
They had a place a set that came out 10 years ago now. There was original Ravnica, which is like a city plane with all these 10 different guilds, and they wanted to focus on each one. When they reintroduced it, they wanted each one to have a new vibe, a new flavor, and so they had to give each one new mechanics, new identity, and it was a lot of shit to take in. Like, imagine coming in
Learning to play when Dragon's Maze came out. When Dragon's Maze came out.
That's what I felt.
Open a booster pack and it'd have 10 different mechanics in it.
Yeah.
It would have detain and scavenge and like all these random things. Like, how are you supposed to...
That's when I started playing, when Dragon's Maze came out.
Yeah.
Sam was just like, I'm downloading all that shit. That's fine.
I was just taking that information. Yeah. That's easy.
That's why I loved it. When the 2014 core set came out, I was just like, oh, this is great. Yeah. This is just like, you know, I can chill out. I can just play the game again. Mm-hmm.
When I started playing, Sam's way to play is I think what I would have preferred, because I kind of floundered around not knowing what was going on because there wasn't a community, there was no direction in the community. Because you want to, I remember this, we were sitting at a bus stop and someone was looking up Magic stuff on their phone, like where to buy Magic. And they said, oh, they run tournaments here. They've got a thing called like a draft that they run every week. Yeah. And we had just been building shitty decks at home, like Life Gain. And like my thing was like red, white, green, power 5 or greater theme. So that was my deck.
And yeah, those first four rounds are like, whoa, this is great. I'm playing this mana.
Yeah, and you'd, on turn 5, you'd play like a 5-3, and you'd be like, yes! Yeah. And you could give it first strike or something. And that was what Magic was to me. And, you know, you'd have a deck that was your deck. It was 80 cards big, and you'd shuffle it, and it would get grubby and crap.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you've got a deck that's got 65 cards, and you go, I want to play these three. I don't want to sacrifice. Oh, yeah. 68, here we come.
You and know, add two just, lands to offset the thing.
And it's just such a bad idea, isn't it? But, you know, I suppose those sort of things we'll cover more, you know, as we progress on the seven-land hand extras and things. All right, so what we'll do is maybe we'll take a break from just like, you know, a general introduction of how we got into Magic, and we'll come back and we'll talk about the different formats that are in general that you can bump into. But first, we have a game, and it's if everyone at home can join in as well.
Oh, a game. Ooh.
Yeah, a game.
We need some theme music for the game.
Sam?
Dun, 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 dun.
We're going to sample that and use it in every single thing.
Wow, that's amazingly loud.
Flavor text.
That's what it's called. It's called flavor text. This is part of a way of knocking Aaron's ego back down to where the rest of us are.
What?
You know, these amazing claims that he knows every card inside and out.
I never claimed that.
It's true. No,
he did
true.
Claim that, didn't he,
did.
He Sam?
He did.
100%. That's my song.
I never claimed that.
No, he did.
Okay. So what we do is...
Should we explain what flavor text is first?
Flavor text, right. Flavor text is the little italic text on the bottom of a card.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Tells a story.
Tells a bit of a story, gets a bit of a theme. So it's just not like you're just putting, you know, rolling the dice. It's a 6, you're dead, you rolled a 4. Nothing like that. This, you know, colours it in a little bit. Mm-hmm. Right. So out of the 80 billion cards, we should really find out how many that have been in Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have flavor text, not all of them. Some. I did look up some of them that I really wanted to have flavor, and they didn't have flavor.
You should have made up some flavor text.
Yeah. So what I've done, I've got 3 cards here, right? Now, don't give me the answers just yet, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the flavor text. And then listeners to the podcast can they can go away, or well, I can stay and listen to the rest of the podcast.
They can go away.
they can muse on the whole. What card is that? Now you can feel free for you to take notes. Don't cheat off each other, okay?
Oh,
teacher will be watching,
covering.
Okay, so you can make notes, and I'll come back to you. And Aaron's always got to answer first, Sam. So you've got to defeat him.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah. So
sure.
Don't Sounds let him easy. Know anything. Sure. Don't even make any eye flickering movements.
No, I'm not looking
give
at him.
Give him any clues. All right.
Okay.
So here's the first flavor text.
Flavor text.
Right. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I've got a. He vowed he would never rest until he reached his destination. He doesn't know how right he was. That's flavor text number 1. All right. You all happy with that? Sam, that's the most confident look I've ever seen on a man. All right.
This is so confident.
Yeah. Flavor text number 2. When a god's will is against you, the day never ends well. That's a... Aaron's giving up on that one.
No,
when a god's will is against you, the day never ends well. Flavor text 2. All right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hit me up with flavor text 3.
Number three. This is the last one. All right. So you know, if you're feeling that,
it's exciting. I'm excited.
Yeah. Even if you just get this next one right, it's 33%. That's pretty good.
Point.
That's
pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. That was a bit of maths I did then. Right.
Stop maths. You didn't do maths.
It is.
You didn't do the maths.
I know. I wrote learned it from.
It's math.
I wrote it
math.
Down.
Math.
It's math.
It is math.
I math.
Okay, you ready? Oh, this one's a flavor text with a bit of with it was by a quote by someone. Now, I can just give you what he said, or I can give you who said it.
Either.
No, not either. You get both. You
I'll
definitely get,
both.
Get what
cool.
he said. Okay, we'll decide on that. Okay, you get both. All right, you ready?
Get both.
I just like what he said. He said, always carry two spears. Do you need any more?
Oh, is that? That's it.
Well, you can have who said it. Always carry two spears. And that was said by Mokgar. Well, that was good.
Yep.
It's nearly as good as Sam's surname, though. Sam Mokgar. That was said by Mokgar, who was a colonial hunter.
Colonial hunter.
Yes. All right. Do you need me to repeat any of those? Do you want me to run over flavor text? 1, 2, or 3? Are you all happy with that?
No, I'm pretty happy.
I'm good, thanks.
All right. Whoa. The panel's happy.
Panel's happy. Yeah, that's so very exciting. All the listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll be bristling away now with excitement.
I've covered up my sheets so Sam can't cheat off me. Yep.
Everyone will be hitting the internet right now while they're going to the toilet and Googling it all on the phone. So when they come back, you know, for these Seven Land Hand parties that they're having.
Yeah, all of them.
And they'll be able to go, yeah, I know what that is. It's,
Everyone knows that. Yeah, it'd be stupid if you didn't know that.
So we're talking about how we got into magic, and like we said, it was usually we picked up on the idea that it was 60 card decks, and then all of a sudden we find 6 billion other people that are playing as well, and there's
every person on the planet.
Yeah. Well, just about everyone does play, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, there's all these formats, different formats.
Yeah, so we started off playing, there was a group of 4 of us, and we just jam a million games with these stupid 80 card grubby no sleeve decks.
It was great.
How wrong we were. But it was fantastic.
And then sleeves. I couldn't believe sleeves at first.
Yeah.
I had sleeves in my first deck though.
Oh really?
Because they advised me to get them.
Oh yeah.
I didn't actually think of it.
Sales.
They were just like, you should get some sleeves for your cards. I said, sure.
He just went and got more cash out of the Lotus Esprit. came back in.
Yeah. We laughed at people that had sleeves. We're like, why do you need to protect your cards?
Yeah.
Well, they're just bits of cards. Stupid people.
Because this one's worth $40. What? Get me some sleeves.
Get some sleeves on that immediately.
That's like, it was one of my first booster packs, had Thunderbolt Hellkite in it.
What?
Yeah, and I didn't know. Dave rang me up and he says, you know that card you got? It was a mythic rare. It was
like a dragon.
Dragony thing. Oh, what, the one with the lightning? Yeah. Yeah, it's worth $40. Not worth that now, by the way. It's worth $40. And I was like, really? And I got one of those hard case covers. The card's about 80% of the size of the whole like bit of plastic. And I put it underneath my monitor so I could see it every day. And I was just like, I'm never going to play with that card.
I borrowed them from you for a tournament, actually.
You did?
The Pro Tour qualifier.
And how did you go?
What?
What was that? Did you bring shame upon my cards?
One, two, drop.
Did you actually?
I had some bad matchups.
And Bonfire.
Oh, bad matchups.
Extremely bad
matchups. What colours are you playing?
I was playing...
Which PTQ was it?
This is the most recent.
Too many questions, Sam. Firing at him.
I thought you went did really
well.
We're
interviewing you, Sam.
No, I went to... I did good at some of the
terrible conversation.
We've had a few tournaments recently. The biggest one that we had recently was a Pro Tour qualifier. These are the... I'll talk about it in a minute.
Okay.
I'll start off with them. So we started off playing these 80 card no sleeve decks, laughing people with all the the play mats and the deck boxes and stuff, and we just like put an elastic band around ours and like, you know, riffle shuffled the crap out of it. And then we found out about these drafts and we're like, let's just go and see what happens. We had no idea what a draft was.
Yeah.
Went down to a certain basement in a smelly vestibule.
Yes.
And learned to draft. When I say learned, I built a 5-color deck with an angel and card that I liked.
You're bound
that
to
I saw.
Get a you know a mana type that you need that way.
At least the one of the five. Yeah,
colors.
So I played a 60 card.
That's bad advice, listeners. Any new people out there? That's bad advice.
So in draft, you only need 40 cards, and you generally stick to 2 colors, so you have a consistent deck.
Yeah.
So you pick 1 card out of each pack. I thought you had to build a 60-card deck, so I built a 60-card, five-color deck because I was like, wow. I have to play all these terrible cards that I picked up. And my first round opponent helped me rebuild it, then tried to rip me off in trading my foil mythic rare angel from me.
No good.
Jesus.
And
so we're pretty lucky around here. We have a pretty good crowd that someone's going to step in and say, don't do that.
But I lost my second round as well. But my third round had a really close game with this newish guy. And it kind of got me thinking, man, there's something about this. There's something about the competitive side of this game that I've never experienced in anything before. That means you can really improve. You can really get better at it.
And there's an instant thing about drafts as well, isn't there? Because it's not like someone's going to rock up with a sub $1,000
deck and you're going,
well, I haven't
ground.
Got that. I'm just starting. So you can just have a look through what cards there are, come down and play. Mm-hmm. You play the draft, and everyone's subject to the same cards that they open on the day, which is brilliant fun.
And then drafting...
It feels creative too.
Yeah, exactly. Because you never play the same colors twice. You never play the same strategy twice. And draft is my favorite way to play now because everyone's on the same level. You're constantly reevaluating things. You
sometimes play with cards that you would never normally... If you were building a deck, you would never necessarily use.
You would never play with them.
And they're fun, aren't they? Because you walk away going, oh, I really like that, whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, just won me the game.
Yeah. And then eventually it stepped up to playing standard tournaments where you bring your own. I was terrible at them when I started as well. I'd just take some advice from here and some advice from here and just bring some crap and just get beaten every week. But it just made me want to improve. And that's what happened with you guys, wasn't it, when you started playing, Sam?
Oh, yeah. When we first started playing, we came down and I can't remember who I versed. It was my first ever game day. It was like the first ever tournament I was in. My first opponent was P-Jax.
He's like one of the biggest players in the store.
Store sponsor.
Yeah, one of the best.
Travels the world and playing Magic.
Yeah.
Welcome to Magic, Sam. Play with P-Jax here.
That's pretty much what it was like, and he just beat me down with flint off.
Why has he got the store name on his shirt?
Yeah. he had the champion mat, and Dave walks past, and he like taps on it, and I was just like, oh, God.
Jesus.
And I was quite nervous, and I got crushed, and then ever since then I was kind of like, well... If these guys can do it, I'm going to give it a shot.
It's a good leveler, isn't it? It's like, I've played against him. He's here. I can, and you can learn off of him.
Yeah, they do. And they're really good guys, and they do help you.
Yeah, I think that's... I mean, what I've learned of the Magic community, at least around here, I mean, I can't say for worldwide, but everyone seems to be largely helpful. I mean, there's always going to be that ass somewhere, like the guy that tried to rip you off your foil angel. But, I mean, those guys... How long do those guys last, you know?
No, because they don't... There's not enough people to make them want to come back.
Yeah.
And people can be like that. Like, people can be really mean in any community that you play. You hear about it with online gaming as well, where it's even like, because you're hidden behind this internet mask.
I got ejected almost immediately from Magic Online for that, because I was in the beginner's room and I was playing. And I was, you know, you got the 25-minute clock.
Yeah.
And it was on about 22 minutes. And the guy goes, can you play quicker, please? And I was like, you're in the beginner's room. What have you seen this card in my life? I've got to read it if I'm thinking about playing it.
Yeah.
And I said, if you want a quick game, it doesn't go from beginner's room to pro level.
Yeah, there's like casual tournament practice, like all sorts of different ones. Why are you going in the beginner's room and bitching a bit? That's terrible.
I know. So I had a big sulk. I was like, oh, I don't want to go online again. Hassled. Yeah. So this is my fault. I should have gone back in because I, you know, that was one game out of probably 20-30 that I had, and it just ruined it for me.
And you still get it playing at the top level. I play pretty much as fast as you can on Magic Online, and people still whine at you because people just whine because it's on the internet or whatever. And the thing with Magic that you don't really get with a lot of other hobbies is that you get some strange folk that play. It draws some odd personality types. I think we're all pretty normal social dudes, and we all like to play Magic and do other things as well. And so being talked down to by people is an odd experience.
Yeah. So don't if you're picking up the game, don't be an ass when you get good at it. And I think that's the rule, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because
and also don't be put off by asses, because the game is amazing and it transcends all these other things that would usually pull anything else down if it was like building model airplanes. They're like, your airplane is shit. I'd be like, I'm quitting this time. I don't care that much about model airplanes.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's cool. I mean, at the moment, I haven't had a lot of time to play, but I still collect the cards because I like look at, like, you got me to play Rise of the Eldrazi, didn't you? It's like, have a look at these cards. These are awesome. I was like, wow, they're like Lovecraftian Cthulhu monstery type things. This
David's eyes
great.
Glazed over and he was like, I must collect every card from the set.
That's what I'm doing now. Yeah. Goodness.
But there's so many different factors to it. Like David said, the artwork is a factor. The collection thing is a factor. Yeah. The strategy, the competitiveness. And I've met a lot of really good people through. I've met a lot of really good friends. And now I've started traveling for it as well.
Yeah.
I've played in a few Grand Prix overseas. The Grand Prix in Las Vegas, which was the biggest Magic tournament ever held. That's, I think it was the biggest trading card tournament ever held anywhere. And there was like 5,000 people in this convention center. And everyone was opening their packs to build a sealed deck at the start of the tournament. And it was just crazy. Like,
I can remember, like, Dave and I were tuning into YouTube and watching it stream. And we was like, I can't believe it's on streaming on YouTube.
Yeah,
like, this is way bigger than what I expected. You know, this isn't the game that deserved to be, you know, this game didn't deserve to be slagged off for many years by myself. You know, this is like, there's way more to it than that.
And me as well, like, it's always had a certain hold on me, and there's no other game that's come close to having this hold over. So, because there's so many different things, like, even if I quit playing competitions or whatever tomorrow, I'd still want to draft, I'd still want to play a silly commander deck with my friends, I'd still want to just look at the artwork. Like, if there's a Grand Prix and I'm anywhere nearer, I'll go and get some cards signed by the artist, or I'll go and buy a print or something. There's just so many different things that,
and you can do it instant as well. Like, you know, pack wars. Like, I just get a pack, add 3 lands of every color in there, and just play it. And it's kind of, and if you don't, I choose not to look at my cards as I do that, and then I'm just going, oh man, I just drew this. It's like, you know, and then again, you end up playing with a card. I forgot. I think I put it on that tweeted it the other day. There was a card of, forgotten who it was, ends up winning me the whole game, and it was just this crappy 2/2 flyer from Theros that could only block flyers.
Oh, Vapor King.
That is a very good card.
It was just like 10 rounds, 2 damage. That was it. That was the game like that. And like, you'd never get that scenario, just different format, playing experience.
Mm. There's just so much to it, and I can't try and sell it to people enough, but people still have that funny veil where they're like, oh, it's a nerdy kind of card game.
Yeah, that's changing as well. Like, I've seen in the, like, you know, when we first were playing in the store, there was like people coming in and they look like trendy nightclubbing kind of guys, and I was just like, I almost felt like, why are you here? And it's just like, because this people are onto it these days. You know, it's like, the Dave tells me, geek chic is a real thing. So many people have Lotus Esprits these days.
Black Lotus Esprits?
I don't know. Sam, what color is it with the
black?
What color is your car?
It's a black Lotus Esprit.
What color is your car?
I don't have a car.
So modest.
It's not a car. It's a machine.
What I find weird is, though, he's still got the ski racks on the roof, and we're in Perth, WA, Western Australia.
Buddy.
Yeah. When do you ever need those ski racks?
Yeah,
Sam?
Never.
But it's just
it's just for looks.
The ladies.
People are like, that guy skis.
Yeah, that guy skis.
When he drives past, he's like, that dude's sick.
Yeah.
Got a surfboard and some skis on there.
Yeah. All right. So, were there any other formats that, you know,
Oh, yeah, that's a thing. Yeah, so there's the competitive ones, and then the focus on a majority of Magic is fueled by the Pro Tour, which is a big thing that goes all around the world. That's what every competitive Magic player is trying to do, win a Pro Tour qualifier or get enough points from other stuff so they can go and play on the Pro Tour. First prize is $40,000 and an invite to the next one. The top 8 get all these prizes. Eventually, you can get into the Magic Hall of Fame, which, again, sounds nerdy, but, like, you get paid, like, a lot of money to just appear at these tournaments. There are celebrities in the community.
Well, what about that? You know, like, we're in Perth, Western Australia. It's about the point on the planet furthest from Dublin.
Yeah.
And we had a Pro Tour qualifier here, didn't we, somebody won that.
Yeah, local player Matt won that one, and he flew to Dublin to play in the Pro Tour.
Which is sick,
And we were helping him prepare in the store and stuff. He's tweaking his deck.
I mean, that was streamed on YouTube. YouTube as well, wasn't
it? Yeah,
it
was. Yeah. That was on Twitch and a few of those big streaming sites, YouTube and stuff as well. Because it's massive. It's got a big following all over the world. There's millions of players now. It's and amazing. Everyone's trying to get to this Pro Tour. And then because there's this huge focus on that, people that just want to play for fun feel like they can't do that. And so there's all these other formats that they've invented, like Draft, you can have a bit more casually. You've got Commander, where it's just, you play a 100-card deck, all the cards are different, you never play the same game twice, and it's built around the rules are all based on multiplayer, so you can play with five people, and every game's different. We'll do a
Seven Land Hand extra on Commander when I think Riley's going to come back from when he comes back from the UK.
Oh yeah, that'll be excellent.
He knows all that sort of stuff inside now. That'd be great. So in your since you started, favorite cards.
There is a majority of cards. Most of them are just the control type of cards.
You're a blue deck player.
This is a thing that's really interesting. In Magic, there are different types of decks you can play.
Yeah.
And when everyone starts out, they want to play green.
Yeah, they do.
You want to play big, stupid monsters.
Colonial Hydra was the best card ever. I was playing
Primordial Hydra. It keeps growing.
Yeah, it's so good.
And then eventually you grow skeptical and you're like, this massive creature just dies to one spell out
like
of my hand.
One spell that costs 2 mana to.
And Sam got on that train a lot quicker than the average person and started countering and killing people's stuff very early in his career.
So you still predominantly play blue?
I typically like to, but I found that in standard at the moment, it's not actually quite as strong as it should be.
He says.
It's
not up to my standard. I want to be strong.
Well, when I first started playing in the control decks I saw before, very, very powerful, I felt like they did a lot more.
Yeah.
Whereas now, like, I feel creatures are actually dominating the standard scene at the moment. Mm-hmm. Whereas beforehand, like, you had things like Thragtos, which were really good in control decks as well, because you had, like, the Flash Angel and Nefalia Drownyard and things like that. Those sorts of control cards that just were really hard to interact with. Whereas now it's, like, control sort of just folds to most if they have a really aggressive start or whatever. So I just feel as though the controller is at a kind of a bad spot at the moment.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion, though.
Yeah, it goes through flux each strategy. So aggressive strategies can be the best sometimes. And these strategies that take from all the other strategies, like Jund, was a deck that
That's the three-color...
Green, red, black.
Yeah.
Was very strong for a very long time in the tournament scene just because everything that it did was so powerful. And then you could have strategies that counteracted that, but then you'd have strategies that counteracted that one.
Yeah,
and
so I think that's a strong point of Magic, though, is that it's like a big circle.
Exactly, yeah.
You can completely bed yourself into one part of that circle, but there's something that can beat you, but then equally there's something that can beat that. So everyone's chasing each other.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've realized lately with playing Magic is the way, how well you do in the tournaments, how well you prepare the week before.
Yeah.
Like understanding the metagame and what you think you're going to be facing on the weekend or whatever and preparing for it beforehand is actually determines how much better you're going to do during the week. Mm-hmm. On the weekend, sorry. So like that's what we did on the last big tournament that was the
Super Series.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Ash and myself, you know, saw this red deck and we thought, you know, this is the deck to play.
Yeah.
And we thought about it and Ash ended up coming second.
All right.
So out of like 40, 50 people.
Yeah.
And that was just red, mono red.
That was just mono red. It was a very like mid range red as well. It wasn't a strange
deck because Ash usually plays green based decks. Sam usually plays blue based decks, like controlling kind of things that play big creatures. This red deck just came out of the great gates really quickly, overwhelmed them, then killed them with a big threat at the end.
And
it was just very unlike any strategies that they played before. But it was correct because guessing what other people are playing is called the metagame, what you think is going to be present at a tournament that you're going to.
Which is unique to each area.
It's unique
to
each area.
So you can't just go online and say, what's the current metagame? Because, you walk into a store in two different locations.
People look at the Pro Tour, people look at the Grand Prix that have gone on. That could not be what's in the store. People could just not have any money, so they play a cheap deck. And you could get the Pro Tour winning deck and lose to these random things.
Yeah.
So you've got to guess, you've got to get information from people, you've got to test a lot, and it really rewards commitment. Like Sam and Ash both did really well at that tournament. I think I picked a pretty good deck as well.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, and it's really interesting that because you can pick the best deck that everyone says is the best and just lose. Because other people are better prepared.
I was thinking as well, like, Sam, you were throwing around the term, like, you know, because if it's a beginner's welcome to magic kind of podcast, like mid-range, you said. So okay. what does mid-range mean?
Mid-range means you sort of, you wait to the mid-game to do your most powerful things and you tend to ramp up to them. Like, for example, like the Jund decks, they were considered mid-range because they had, like, kill spells for, like, the opponent's early threats and answers for early threats, and then they just sort of overwhelm them with things like, you know, Thrag Tusk or whatever. Things in standard at the moment.
Blood Baron,
Desecration Demons, the 5/5, what's his name? Plukranos.
Oh, yeah.
The 4/5 that gets Hexproof. I forget the names. Yeah. What's the name again?
Reaper of the Wilds.
Yeah. Just cards like those, like that they're considered mid-rangey creatures because they come out turn 4 rather than...
Yeah, so it's more about, it's like the mana that you've spent and the time in the game and so it's going to hit the table, isn't it? Really?
Hard to deal with creatures as well, like Stormbreath Dragon, like things that evade like certain situations like Blood Baron, the Viscopa or Obsidat or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're considered mid-range.
So traditionally you're going to play one mana each round. Yeah, and so it's going to build. So each round you're going to go round one, you're going to play one land and you can spend that and play a one cost and then two and then three and then four and then five. Yeah. And by saying ramp, you're meaning, you know, you're
playing things like elves, like the elves that get you like
elves. So a creature that can then tap and give you an extra one.
The rules of Magic let you play one land a turn, and spells are more powerful if you pay more mana, which you get from your lands for them. So there are things that help you cheat more mana into play, creatures that add mana as well as lands, and they can attack and block as well. So cards that cost less, come down a lot earlier, but are less powerful than things that you'll be playing on turn 4, 5, and 6 with 4, 5, and 6 lands. And then stuff that is 7 and 8 generally just wins the game off its own back. And so when we say early game, we're talking about turns 1 and 2 and 3. Turn 4 and 5 is the middle of the game.
Yep.
And then the end game is where you're just doing one thing that's just going to really beat them. And
so with a control deck, you're usually trying to stop someone's early to mid game, aren't you? So that you can get to your end game.
So you can seal up the layer. Yeah.
Control player pretty much just tries to take control of the game early. Like that's the way it's called, control, just by answering threats pretty much. Like everything, you need just an answer for every single threat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's also using your life total as well, isn't there? Like, yeah, I think that's an early thing to pick up on, is that you realize that your life total is a buffer, and while you've still got one life, you're still going.
You can still win the game.
As a control player, you can definitely, as with Sphinx's Revelations and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. So what are your favorite cards that you've played with?
Back to that question.
my favorite card ever is Nephalia Drownyard.
One of the most unfun cards, I think. If you just ask new players generally, they'd be like, I hate being killed by that card.
Sweet picture, though.
It's a great card.
Yeah. But Sam's talking about... Oh, yeah, talk about the deck that it was in.
I was playing like a blue-black... it was just a one-for-one deck. Everything was just one-for-ones. And then you had Snapcaster Mages to, you know, get your one-for-ones back and one-for-one for more. And then once you get to, you know, turn 10 or whatever, you just Nephalia Drownyard them out, or the Mill Jace... Just mill them out. That's how you won, pretty much. Or you beat them down with Augur of Bolas and Snap Custom Mage, which happened a lot. It happened a lot.
So these are all small creatures that don't... That do utility things with your deck, but don't actually kill them ever, opposed to different decks. And then you have a land that just takes three cards from the top of their library, puts them in the graveyard.
Yeah, so I've got it here. It's like, so it's a land, it's a rare land. So you can tap it and add one to your mana, because it's a mana pool, because it's a land. That would be colorless. And then you could also spend one colorless and a blue-black and tap it. Target player puts the top three cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard. So, you know, it's for like, you know, someone, you know, like a little bit more fireworks and dynamics about you. Read that and you just go, oh, so you did what? You're just going to put top three
cards?
So is the whole idea just to mill someone down? Is it part of that?
That's those decks that were built for those situations, actually their primary win condition was that.
The mill.
In Magic, you can win if they run out of cards in their deck.
So you go to your library, you try to draw a card, there's nothing there. There's nothing that you've lost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because the great thing about it was the only way that you could stop that card from killing you, or like whatever, is Pithing Needle. It's the only thing that could stop it.
Which is a very niche kind of card.
They only usually have one of those in their sideboard. and they bring them in or whatever, but it still requires them to draw that one card out of 60 cards. So mm-hmm. it was just something that was very hard for them to interact with, and it did the job like all the time.
Yeah, there
was
won you a lot of games.
It would never not do what it was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Innistrad block there with the spooky artwork.
Oh yeah, so good. Little graveyards in the distance and stuff. Yeah,
great cards.
What about yourself there with favorite cards?
So one of the first decks that I really fell in love with was this Naya deck, which was green, white, red, and it wasn't my five power or greater one. It was based around the power of Cascade, which is when you play a spell, you can reveal cards from the top of your library and cast another one from your library for free that costs less than it. And so you'd build your deck in a way you'd never built it before, built around cascading into this.
So what was the random name of the spell?
The name of the card is Bloodbraid Elf. Which is
Bloodbraid Elf.
It is now banned.
It's now banned because it's so strong. But I played it in Standard when there was only 2 years worth of sets.
It's from Alara Reborn? Is that
Alara Reborn, yeah, that's the one. So it's a 3-2 with haste for 2 red-green. So on turn 4, you play this guy. You've got a 3-2 with haste. That's pretty good by itself. And then you get a free spell that costs 3 or less from your deck. And sometimes it would be a 5-4 creature because they don't cost very much. Sometimes it would be 3 damage to them and they discard 2 cards. The fact that you just get 2 cards worth of value out of this one thing in red and green and you're attacking them at the same time is just...
There was an interview I watched with LSV and he said, if Bloodbraid Elf didn't have haste, do you think it'd be as strong as it is?
Oh, like, no, because it did so much at that time against the metagame. Yeah. Jace the Mind Sculptor is another one of my favorite cards. One of the most powerful cards they've ever printed. Bloodbraid Elf killed it because you could Bloodbraid Elf and attack it the turn that it came down. They would have to play around your elf rather than you playing around their powerful planeswalker card. Jace. So if it didn't have haste, it wouldn't be as good. Like I remember someone saying, Bloodbraid Elf is one of the first cards you can just get a 5-for-1 because you can Bloodbraid Elf into a Blightning, which was 3 damage to them, they discard 2 cards. So 3 damage, that's 1 spell's worth. Discard a card, that's 1 spell's worth. Discard another card, that's 1 spell's worth. You get a 3-2 body, and it has haste, so you can attack with it immediately. It's just this insane card that you can just do so much with. And it's random, so it's kind of fun every time it happens. You don't
And the cards are going on the back the bottom of your library. Yeah, when you start reading it, it goes, you go, I'm just milling myself. This could be a nightmare. Yeah. But it's not, because they're just going back on the bottom. So you're going to hit something.
You're going to hit something amazing every time if you build your deck towards it. Yeah. So I really love that about the card. Yeah, it's just a lot of fun. I played that in my first really big competitive tournament. I think I came 9th or 10th. Just missed the top 8. Cascading Bloodbraid Elf into a Cunning Spark Mage with Basilisk Collar. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I feel like I've missed out on a lot of good cards.
Yeah, man, they've printed some awesome stuff.
Yeah, I think I picked a pretty bad time to join the game.
Now, Theros is a lot of fun, but yeah, I think it looks like their focus is more on the limited side of stuff.
And also keeping it quite level playing field.
I
feel like everything's quite balanced. Like, even Mono Black and Mono Blue, whatever, they're really good decks, but they're also quite easy to beat.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you think about primarily beating them, they're quite easy to beat at the same time.
Yeah. All the decks that we've been making recently are built to beat the 2 best decks.
Yes.
And we never want to play them because they're boring.
They're boring. They're quite...
Yeah, what's your favorite?
Well, I was juggling between 3, and they're all nostalgic reasons. They're not reason. I think I sort of mentioned Thundermoor Hellkite because it was the first big expensive card that I owned, and I didn't even know. Then I got right into this. I loved Exalted at the time because that was like a new thing. It was just like, oh, I'll just ramp everybody. You know, I'll have everyone lined up there, and I'll just attack with one guy, and they're like the far
what
he's going
to lose
in there, and he's going to be heaps big, and he's going to kill someone. Mm-hmm. But so I like Sublime Archangel,
even
though
crazy.
I don't like the artwork or anything like that. So that sort of goes maybe. But you know, like from again, I think of it as an M13 card. But it's obviously a lot earlier than that. I think it's Zendikar. It's the first appearance of Vampire Nighthawk.
Oh, my goodness.
That is a great card. I love that card.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's like you go straight to it. It's like, it's a picture. It's great. It's like Jason Chan was doing really good stuff there. He seems to have smoothed off a lot of his work now. It looks a little bit more porcelain. No, it looks like what was the... the Death Pact Angel.
Oh yeah,
it's a little bit more. Looks
a bit
like
more sheen to it.
Yeah, it's like really smoothed off. Mm-hmm. Like the Vampire Nighthawks is great. You know, you don't know if it's like cobwebs or ice or something just like draining off of him. He's on that outpost off the building.
That artwork and is awesome.
Yeah, and it was just so much fun. I mean, yeah, like at the time it was like playing two black on the three drop. I wasn't really thinking about that. You know, mm-hmm. who cares? But, Flying, Lifelink, and Death Touch. Death Touch, coolest thing ever. I just love it. Yeah. It's like, just give me one power and lots of toughness. And he's kind of like in that order. He's like a 2-3. So. Mm. And, yeah, I think I've had many a good game just because of Vampire Nighthawk. I always liked having it in my hand. And I was sort of sad to see him not come back again for the next round. But I'm sure he'll be back.
He will.
Everything about
it
is good.
He's an amazing guy. People love
him. Yeah, he won me many games as well.
Okay, well, I thought what we could do is we could go back to MTG Card Quiz. We could fire away three questions and then get back to flavor text to get to the answers.
flavor text.
All right. So you're going to probably both need to take notes for this, all right?
Sure.
So get ready to, that's it. Huddle over those bits of paper. All right. You ready? Like, so write the answers down.
Yep.
And then what I'll do is I'll do all three questions. Mm-hmm. Write your answer down. And we'll go back to question one.
Sure.
And I'll ask Aaron first. And then you, Sam, you can maybe cheat a bit and you can go, yeah, he's right. Just scribble it out and put the right answer. And then he has a worse chance of winning.
All right. Okay, cool. All right, this is fine.
All right.
Okay.
This is testing Aaron's card knowledge here.
The odds are against me.
Yeah, hopefully. All right, look. These are all, I think they're all going to be from the Innistrad block. So, that's really pushing Sam, but that's all right.
That's right.
Okay, all right. We'll question one, Deranged Assistant. It's a blue card. He's a creature. He costs one and an island.
Mm-hmm.
The card is tap. Put the top card of your library into your graveyard. Add one colorless to your mana pool. All right. So everyone's mm-hmm. nodding.
Yeah,
everyone's happy with that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You ready? What kind of creature is he?
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Question two. Which Dark Ascension card has the text? Choose one. Destroy target creature with flying or destroy target artifact. If you want some hints...
Oh, God.
It's two colorless and one forest.
Yeah.
And it's an instant card.
I've had that in a deck before.
So it's a Dark Ascension card.
It was in standard, yeah.
Dark Ascension card. Choose one. Destroy target creature with flying or destroy target artifact.
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
Two in a forest. It's an instant. All right. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, Sam.
Come on, man. Come on. No, I'm really happy with the wording of this next question.
Okay.
Yeah, this is
fine.
Great.
Here we go.
Okay. Of the three cards in the Avacyn Restored set,
mm-hmm.
there are six cards that cost six mana. All right. So Avacyn Restored, there's six cards that cost six mana. Only one of these cards requires five colorless mana and one forest. The rest are four colorless and two forest. You follow?
Yeah.
Which card is five colorless and one forest?
Oh, that's hard.
Damn right it is.
Oh,
that's the
really
way I was going to work it. Damn hard.
Oh, I love the question.
I've actually never looked at the cards from that block.
From Avacyn Restored? Yeah. Oh, really? No, just like in a list?
I've actually never played it.
Avacyn Restored was a terrible draft format. Right. Everyone hated it. They really? did something wrong with that one. And when you had to draft Avacyn Restored, you were like, no.
So, but, you know, Sam, if you're going to go for it, just take a stab at a green Avacyn card.
I don't even know the sort of like names they gave the cards.
Oh, you know, Angel something. Yeah, yeah. It was the Angel set. He looks like that.
Oh, buddy, that doesn't do anything.
Just showed Sam the picture of the card under the table and he's still not getting it right. All right. Well, we're testing Aaron's knowledge down here.
Oh, dear.
All right, so that's probably long enough. Everyone at home's, you know, can pause away.
All right.
So Aaron, what did you have for the Deranged Assistant? What kind of creature is he?
Okay, so creatures in Magic
have
two types generally.
Ooh.
Unless they're odd and they only have one. They have the creature that they are and then like their job in the Magic world.
They're
the little their what they do.
Yeah.
So on Innistrad, the Deranged Assistant is He's a human.
Yeah.
In blue. Yeah. He's one of those crazy scientists.
Right.
Fellows. They don't call him scientists. Is he a human wizard?
Right. A human wizard. Sam, what have you got?
I actually wrote down human wizard.
Yeah, you're both right.
Yeah.
That's a high five.
Ding, ding, ding.
It's a high five there.
Yeah. After a flyer. This is a good flyer.
Oh, that is excellent. Yeah, people can get these correct.
Yeah.
All right. Now for one, you can both get wrong.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, you feeling confident?
Yeah, I know this one.
I know this one.
So which Dark Ascension card has a text? Choose one. Destroy target creature with flying or destroy target artifact.
Mm.
Aaron, what have you got?
Well, I'll begin this with a story. Once upon a time in Standard, there was a deck called Delver. And Delver was built around one of the cool flip cards that was a human scientist.
Yeah.
That would he became the human fly if you revealed an instant or sorcery from the top of your deck.
What was that?
Delver of Secrets.
Delver of Secrets.
And so at the beginning of your upkeep, you'd flip it. And if you got an instant or sorcery on the top of your library, he turned into a 3/2 insect man with flying. He looked like a little weird praying mantis and he looked very uncomfortable.
Help me.
And that deck became very, very strong very quickly.
Yeah.
And it would put equipment on the flying creature. Yeah. So one of the things that killed Delver of Secrets and the equipment he was holding was Crushing Vines.
Crushing Vines. What have you got, Sam?
Crushing Vines.
Well done, both of you.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. Well done. That was correct.
Yeah.
I suspect that's 2-1 to Aaron, but 2-2 all. I'm a good judge of character. Yeah. I don't believe Sam cheated at all.
Never.
Okay. You ready? Question three.
Oh, God.
The green cards in Everson Restored. 6 costs 6 mana. Only 1 costs 5 colorless and 1 forest. Who's it going to be?
Can I name the other two? I can remember what the other
two are.
What do
you mean the other two? No, there's 6 of them.
There's 6 green ones.
There's 6 green cards that cost 6 mana. Only one of them is 5 colorless and 1 forest. So 1 plus 2 is only 3.
There's only 3. Oh, what? There's 6 that cost 6 mana.
Yeah.
In green.
Yeah.
And they're all green. Mm. Oh, no. Oh, they're not all green. Of the green ones.
Yes.
Can I name the other green ones?
Well, tell me what your answer is first.
I don't have an answer. I couldn't remember all the other ones.
Go on,
that one.
If you can name all 6 cards that cost 6 mana. But I haven't got that list here.
Oh,
so
Jesus. The other two green ones.
Well, just take a stab at it. What do you reckon it's going to be? You take a stab at it. And I'll let Sam pick any one of those names.
It's... Wolfie Angel Man.
Do you think that's
I wrote down Wolfman.
Did you show him? Is that what
you just write down Wolfman?
How did you get to Wolf? He was cheating somehow.
There were some wolves in that block. Yeah,
right. So what's a spirit wolf from the Avacyn Restored?
Oh, it's a 4/2 with undying.
No, it's not 4/2. It's 5/1. That's the question.
5/1? Yeah. Is it 5/1?
He's
got undying?
No. Oh, he does have undying, sorry. Yeah.
Oh. I don't.
He has glowing eyes.
Howlgeist.
There you go. Yeah, Howlgeist.
Howlgeist.
Yeah, everyone at home had that. I can sense it.
Yeah, I feel embarrassed now.
You should be embarrassed.
Right, so what was that? 2-1? It's pretty much 2-1. Yeah, Aaron just so he stays.
All right.
Aaron stays on
top. I was at a handicap.
Yeah.
Aaron stays on top of the 9-inch monster. Please moving right along. So, everyone's waiting for this at home. The flavor text.
Flavor text. Flavor testes.
Okay, so he vowed he would never rest until he reached his destination. He doesn't know how right he was.
Mm.
Aaron, what have you got for that one?
Well, from clues.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's a man. It sounds kind of foreboding. So I'm guessing Innistrad. So it's a man from Innistrad that he doesn't know. Something happens when he dies. Doom Traveler.
You going to guess?
I wrote down Suntail Hawk.
Suntail Hawk.
Suntail Hawk.
You're right, Aaron. It's Doom Traveler.
Yeah,
from the Innistrad block.
I'm such a nerd.
One Plains gets you a human soldier creature. When Doom Traveler dies, put a 1/1 white spirit creature token with
flying.
Yeah, onto the battlefield.
That's close. That's a good
one. That's close. All right. Flavor text two. When a god's will is against you, the day never ends well. Now, I thought this was incredibly hard, but I threw it in there. How did you go with that one, Aaron? I thought Sam reacted to this like, I've got this one sewn up.
Okay, so it's from Theros, because that Theros is one of the only places with gods.
When a god's will is against
you. God's will.
I like how you're breaking these down.
It's not god's willing, because that's...
I'm not asking what it isn't.
Okay.
I'm asking you what it is.
It's not this. It's not this. It's not this. It's either... I think it's Sea God's Revenge.
Right. What have you got?
I put down God's Willing.
God's Willing.
Yeah.
It was Stymied Hopes.
Is that the counterspell?
Yeah, the one and a crappy counterspell.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's playing counterspells?
Some
it's an instant. It's one and an island for a counter target spell unless its controller plays one and you get to scry one at the same time.
Oh, I like that card. That's okay. I've countered some funny things with it in draft.
What's Stymied Hopes?
Yeah.
It looks like
one time.
It looks like there's this rather fancy dressed woman out and she's paintballing and someone's fired a blue paint pellet at her and exploded like about a meter away from her.
She's got a force field.
That's what obviously. I'm reading that Peter Moorbacher was going for when he illustrated that one.
Oh, Peter Moorbacher.
great name.
Okay. The final one. What do we got there? It's 1-0, isn't it, Taron?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
All right, you've got to come back strong here, Sam.
I'm sure it's going to be 1-0 at the end of this.
Come on. All right. So, Flavortext 3. Always carry two spears, Mokgar, Colonian Hunter. What's he crapping on about?
So, there's two of something, because you need to carry two spears. Colonia is the plane that they look at in the core set. I don't think it's the Hydra, because it's Colonian Hydra, Colonian Tusker, yes. They're in the core set.
I see where you're going.
There's two spears, and he's hunting them, so it'd be like a beast of some kind. Thragtusk? When he dies, you put another beast into play, so you need two spears, because you need to kill the first one and the second one.
Is that your answer?
Yep.
Sam.
I wrote down, I have no idea, but I think it's Thragtusk.
He's convinced you.
He did write down, I have no idea, but I think it's Thragtusk.
You don't want to go with your no idea?
Thragtusk.
You're sticking with Flag.
Yeah, I'm thinking
about it. It's Thragtusk.
Yeah! Oh, that's good.
2-1. Yeah, Flavortext. Oh, well done. And I hope everyone at home went well. I thought, man, if I get Thragtusk through and no one picks
no
it.
No one gets it. Yeah.
There'll be some kicking of themselves going on tonight.
Yeah, you can play a card in a tournament for like a year, 2 years, and not know what a stupid flavor text
is. I would never, ever read flavor text.
Yeah. Oh, come on, guys. It's all about the flavor text.
Be on the flavor text train.
All right. Well, it's an exciting moment just before Christmas now. We're just going to sub Sam out, and we're going to sub another special guest in.
Oh, very exciting.
And it's welcome back to the pod after that lengthy break there. A few ice creams. Aaron's got ice cream all over his T-shirt.
Salted caramel cornetto. Delicious.
Oh, yeah. Salted caramel. And we have a repeat guest.
Oh, my goodness.
It's the first repeat guest ever.
Is it Matt McHale from the Zombies episode last
week? It's not Matt McHale.
Oh.
It's from the Secret Underground pilot episode. We've got Travis.
Oh, my goodness. Travis, hello.
Hello.
Nice to see you, buddy.
Yeah.
How have you been?
Good.
Yeah, I've been gaming it up large.
Yep.
Yeah, good stuff.
Are you disappointed we didn't call the podcast Game Men?
Yes, very disappointed.
Yeah,
understandable.
Yeah, it went to committee and it didn't come back.
The committee said no.
Okay, now you've got an important thing, because we want kids everywhere to know what to ask Father Christmas for when they go begging down at the shopping center on his knee. And you've got five things that the kids kids want for Christmas.
Yeah. Sure.
All right. So what's in fifth place? What's the least? You know, go from fifth to boom, number one.
The number one thing that kids
almost
want.
That you need. Right. So what's at number five?
So the worst thing.
The worst best thing that you want.
The fifth best thing that you wrote down. Gotta be in the mic.
A cool deck box.
A cool deck box. Is that
the coolest one ever?
Is that like the one that we've been trying to give away? The one we've been trying to give away for tweets. Is that a cool deck box?
Yeah,
that's what kids want for Christmas. Tweet, children, tweet.
Tweet at Seven Land Hand.
Yeah, it's like a robotic, opens up automatically, and you don't need to use.
That doesn't sound like the one we're giving away.
We don't have one of them.
Yeah. Oh, it's coming. That's what a kid wants.
That's what a kid wants. It's not what a kid can get.
Yeah.
So,
I want a robot hand.
robot deck box hand?
No, it doesn't open deck boxes.
Just having a deck box for a hand would be pretty terrible, I think.
Yeah. All right. Number four. Fourth best thing. Fourth worst best thing.
To be the best at the card game or game you're playing.
All right, so just a skills download.
Yeah.
So you just like in The Matrix, I know Kung Fu. Instead of saying Kung Fu, you just get really good at, like, Bonanza.
So you just get, like, this Santa Claus comes into your bedroom, and instead of putting something in the stocking, he just gets a huge needle and just injects into your temple, like, some green juice.
Or like, those microbots that go on your brain and reprogram it, so Santa just imbues you with the power to
It'd be nano something. Nano juice.
Elf juice.
And you'd just, like, Bane, you'd just be like... and you just go, I know magic. Yeah.
Or...
whatever Santa's game, like, you're playing.
Oh, you're whatever the game best at Go Fish. And you're like, oh, Santa, that's not what I asked for.
That'd be tragic, wouldn't it? Oh, okay, just running around to your mates. You go, look, I can play Chutes and Ladders. Come on, let's play.
Someone play Chutes and Ladders with me.
No, man, I just listened to this awesome podcast. I want to go play Magic now.
Yes.
Oh, but I'm the world's best Chutes and Ladders player.
I'm so good.
Third
best thing.
To win every tournament you go in.
Isn't that
that's a bit of a thing. Yeah, it's a bit similar. Because if you were the world's best at it. But anyway, so you're just going to win. Is it all about winning, Travis?
Kind of, yes.
It is. All right.
Don't tell the kids that.
Right, so who were you raised by? That's terrible. It's all about the fun you have whilst playing.
And winning.
Children and winning.
And winning.
And stomping on. And what did Conan say? He said it's Lamentations of the Women. Seeing your enemies, I'm doing it backwards. It's all about kicking ass.
It's all about kicking the shit out of people.
Yeah, hearing the lamentations of their women. Okay. The lamentations, they're like those chocolatey things with coconut on them.
Why do they make noise? Why can you hear them?
When you're chewing with your mouth open.
Oh, which
is something else that
quite
we do too.
Soft and coconut.
Travis, the number one.
Number two.
Jumping ahead, sorry.
Dear.
Yeah, trying to shorten the segment.
All of the... so many boost packs that you never run out. They just keep appearing.
Like an unending booster box of boost. But then if you were
can
still...
Can you resell them to make some money? Because then that's pretty much like saying
printing
unlimited money.
Yeah, so if you take one away and open it and you get the cards you need, one reappears.
Okay, so would you... which set would... You know, but you could get, like, a really sucky set, couldn't you? That's got money. What would that be? Like,
Homelands?
Homelands? I haven't even heard of that.
Homelands is one of the very old sets they made.
Right. That was worth nothing.
They were worried they were printing all this powerful stuff. Right. And so they made a very, very, very bad set on purpose. Right. And were like, everyone, buy it. It's great. It's magic.
Yeah, have fun with
this. Homelands.
Homelands. So if you had an unending... never-ending supply of Homeland boosters. That would
at least you'd have unlimited paper to turn into mulch or something. You could mulch your garden with it. So
yeah,
it's
there'd
not
be something you could do with that. Yeah,
make a big tower.
So an unending box of Homeland cards is booster box is number two, and number one, the best thing. Kids, listen up. Get close to the.
This is what you're asking your parents for this year.
The iPod dock. Get your ear right next to it. Travis is about to tell us exactly what you need.
Is it an iPod dock?
No.
Oh, okay, what is it?
Because it's always got to be something to do with cards.
Yeah, see, Travis is staying on theme.
He's staying on theme. Excellent.
Yeah, like we've been doing with the Paul show.
To be so rich in cards, which is kind of similar to number
it's exactly seven. It's a bit about the same. So just to be rich in cards.
Yes.
To be rich is...
Like to live in a house of cards.
Live in a house of magic cards. But what happens if you were playing and you went, oh, I need a Sphinx's Revelation, and you pulled it out of the wall and it just happened to
be... It would reappear.
It would reappear. The wall wouldn't collapse. Because you know a house of cards, that's a saying. Yeah. That's like a saying.
Yeah. It's as fragile as a house of cards.
Made of Sphinx's
Revelations.
Yeah. You happy with that though?
Yeah. Number one?
Looks like I've got a heavy couple of 4 or 5 days building a house of cards.
I've got 3 Sphinx's Revelations for you to build your house with.
Yeah. I don't know. He's small, but he's not that small. A little a bivouac of cards?
Like a swag?
A little
lean to.
Yeah. We get that Homeland box and just like rip them all up into fluffy bits and make a pillow.
Yeah,
and you could just be happy anyway.
Done. Yeah, house of cards finished.
Sold. wrap that segment up. Right.
Excellent.
And before you go, I understand you've done a little bit of card design. I think we're going to come back to this over future MTG Sevenland Hand MTG Extra.
Yeah, Travis's card designs. Excited to hear some. One.
Yeah, these are going to print.
We're going to just cover one today?
Well, we've got two.
Travis actually works for Magic R&D. Flies from Seattle to come and guest on our podcast. We're very, very lucky to have him. This is going to be in the set that comes out next year.
I think he's proposing these to the R&D committee, and we'll see how it goes.
Pretty much guaranteed to get in though.
Oh yeah, we'll see. Okay, we'll see what you think. You can rate it out of 10.
I'll rate it out of 10. Okay.
Okay, 10 being good.
Out of 10. Score in the middle of the show.
All right, what's the name of the card, Travis?
All that is left is dust.
Woof.
All that is left is dust.
Yeah. That's foreboding, isn't
it? Do you know of the card All is Dust?
No.
Wow. There is a card that is already called All is Dust.
And what was yours? All that is left is dust.
Wow, that's amazing.
Well, he's a genius.
He didn't even know.
All that and is it left. Might be like the best card ever.
Okay. I suspect it. It usually is.
If it's each player sacrifices or colored permanents you control, I'm going to call you a cheater.
All right, well, just read it. What have you got? How much does it cost?
It costs 2 black and 2 colourless.
Two colours, 2 black, right? Yep. Got you.
So two black card,
yeah.
And this is what it does.
Yep.
It's a spell.
Yeah.
Exile all creatures, spells, all of the hand and graveyard opponent controls.
That's punishing.
None of yours. It just exiles their hand.
The hand.
Everything
their creatures,
they've kind of got.
Their spells.
Do they still have their library?
Their deck?
No, everything but their library.
Everything but their library.
So their graveyard as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Goodness.
Exiles them. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to put
like
that
I see Sam. Can it be countered with one of Sam's blue counter spells?
Never.
Can't be countered either. Well. I know, that's going to be making waves in standards.
And it's four, so that's a mid-range card.
That's a mid-range.
And yeah, that's a mythic.
That's what we learned
rare.
Today.
And we've got some flavor text on that one.
Yes.
Yeah, all right, how's that go? How's that read?
All that is left
is
broken bones and all dust.
And all dust. Yeah. So everything else turns to dust, and then.
But what about the broken bones? Are they dust?
No, because
then
that colours it a little bit. It sort of says that people got hurt.
But the card's called "All That Is Left Is Dust and Bones."
And it sort of goes without saying.
Are we allowed to rename it, Travis?
No.
Okay,
don't rename it.
Hear me out.
Stay.
All that is left is your library. What do you think about that?
Yeah,
that's very good.
Imagine that. It's just like this thing happens to a community and everything's gone, except there's a community library in the middle of it. They're going, anybody want to enroll? You can borrow this for 3 months, bring it back, no cost.
Where are you going to read it? Where else are you going to go?
All right,
okay,
so
cool.
Card number two.
That's like a 10 out of 10.
That's a 10. Would you play that?
I would, play it.
Yeah, you'd play
it?
In
every deck that it was legal.
Would you play mono black to get
I'm
those
not sure
two
what,
swamps?
That's, you probably.
Yeah, yeah.
A black deck. You probably run green black so you can play it on turn 3.
Oh, yeah, because you wouldn't want to sit around waiting.
You wouldn't want to wait for it.
Yeah, come on, I'm going to win this game.
It's not going to be counted.
Yeah, so come on, let's get it out there quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so the second and last final card.
So this isn't that good.
Oh, don't talk it down.
Not as good as the one just then.
Yeah, but sometimes in R&D you've got to create weaker cards, like Aaron pointed out with the whole set.
Yeah, balance. Here we go.
Oh, here we go. So what's this one called?
Not as good as All That Is Left Is Your Library is...
Scorch Lover.
Oh. Travis, how old are you?
8.
Sounds seedy.
All right. Scorch Lover.
Sounds like Sam and his Black Lotus Esprit with the ski clips.
Oh, yeah. That's a Scorch Lover.
He's a Scorch Lover.
Yeah, he gets the...
Sam Scorch Lover...
Maverantonis. Maverantonin.
You should start with an S. Maverantonis with a silent S.
Smaverantonis.
Smav.
Smav.
All right.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
Scorch Lover.
Scorch Lover. How much does this one cost?
It costs 3. Anything. 3 colorless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a creature. 3/3.
Oh, so it doesn't.
It's in any color.
It's colorless. Because Scorch Lover, it sounds like a red card. Mm-hmm. I'm imagining a red card.
Oh, just love scorches. It isn't a scorcher itself. It just loves to be
it's
scorched.
An artifact.
Or scorch.
All right, yeah, go.
Things that are scorched.
Yeah. So he's colorless, 3. And he's what is he?
He's a devil.
He's a devil.
Creature devil, yep. Mm-hmm.
And he's got flying and haste.
Yeah.
What's his power and toughness? That's all important.
This is the seller now, you know. Because
it was a 3-3.
Ooh! 3-3 with flying and haste.
Oh my goodness. In any colour, Scorch Lover.
Yeah.
What are his other abilities?
When he enters the battlefield...
How did you know there's going to be another battlefield effect? It's gone. Yeah.
Put your deck in any order.
Oh! That's
quite interesting.
Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play turn one, Llanowar Elf. Turn two, Scorch Lover.
Yeah.
Off a swamp.
Oh, because you've ramped to it.
Yeah, and rearrange my deck so that all that is left is your library is on top. Yeah. And then all on turn three, every time guaranteed, all that is left is your library. Bam.
All that's left is your library.
Amazing. What are you going to do?
Yeah, high five.
What are you going to do? Can't even counter any of it. Can it be counted?
No.
Oh!
I think that goes without saying. Any chances cards cannot be counted.
Scorch Lover, all that is left is dust combo deck.
All right, tweets.
Who's tweeted us?
We received more tweets this week.
We did receive
Let's welcome back Sam, by the way. Hi, Sam.
Yeah,
hello,
Sam.
Hello.
There you go.
Yeah, you'll be excited by this this section of the podcast because we read out all of the tweets. Mm-hmm. It's a wild way of conversing with the listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got one from a guy called Hans Svenland. This is remarkable, really. It says, Aaron. It's to you, Aaron.
Oh, to Aaron.
Yeah, he says, I too speak the phonetic alphabet. It gets the ladies. And he's winking at you.
Oh, that.
Well, with
interesting.
You. It's probably a wink with you.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I think he's getting back to that.
All of us speak the phonetic alphabet, otherwise we wouldn't be able to talk.
You found a loophole. So he's talking nonsense.
Yeah, it does, it certainly helps with the ladies because being able to communicate,
being able to talk
with words,
yeah,
it does help get the ladies. It's not the be all and end all of communication, but talking definitely helps.
Did you find that, Sam, when you brought that deck builder's kit home and the fat pack, and you said,
like,
bitch, get out of the way, I'm gonna play some magic
tonight. I had to like commune with her to realize what is going on. Talking helps.
That's right. Why are you leaving me? Oh, there's no need for that. Come back.
We'll be, I'll throw these away, I swear.
Yeah. Now, I think someone is taking the piss a little bit because it seems like they've listened to the first podcast and like devoted themselves to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy, there's a tweet. I don't know what gender the guy or girl is. It's
friend.
We are game men.
It's saying, that's just crass.
Yeah, we are game men. Listen to the pilot if you know, need to know more about that. He said, early 1980s, that zombie practices observed in Haiti, I'm sure 007 fought voodoo zombies in Live and Let Die, circa 1973. Please explain. Now, Venn diagram time. I don't think these things are mutually exclusive. Yeah, I talked about, Serpent and the Rainbow in the 1980s. That doesn't mean that James Bond couldn't be fighting them back in Live and Let Die. It was the first time.
I thought you did.
No.
Recorded? The first mention of the word zombie.
No, I don't think so. Said any of that. In fact, I'm going to iTunes and deleting the previous podcast if said any of that. No, I think it was like...
To destroy the evidence.
No, because we said George A. Romero's Zombies was the progenitor of the modern zombie. And his stuff came out ages ago.
Yeah, 1800s or so.
It was just that was kind of, they were trying to make it more real.
The
Serpent and the Zombie, perhaps.
Okay, sure.
Still, all right, well, we'll let him off for there. There's a bit of confusion around it.
Anyway, Twitter folk,
don't come to us for facts. No. I think that's something we could learn today. That is something you can learn from us. Don't learn anything from us.
Don't learn a thing.
I'll put that on the podcast. I'll put that
learn
on the site.
Learn this before you listen to the rest of the podcast.
Ye who come here, ye seeking knowledge, be gone.
Don't learn anything past the first thing that we said.
Unless it's written with the proper linguistics and
phonetic alphabet. Yeah, that's fine. That's okay.
Okay. And he's got keen because I don't know how much later that is. He's gone, seven line hand, when's Travis coming back? ? Is there any truth to the rumor he set up his own podcast called Travin Shit? Well, in your face, we are gay men, because we just had a whole segment with Travis. In.
Yeah.
And there is no Travin Shit.
He was accepted. He got that job with Wizards R&D flying in and out of Seattle.
Yeah, and didn't have time for
back to Perth. So he doesn't have time for his Travin Shit anymore.
Yeah. It'd be a very difficult thing to balance.
So we've got the prizes rolled over from last week.
The zombie deck. We are gay men, or you don't like either of them.
I don't like either.
Or Hans Svenland.
Hans Svenland.
I mean, that sounds like a guy. Strong.
Yeah, he came on. He winked at me.
Yeah, he seemed like he was on board. I reckon we give it to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I too speak the phonetic alphabet. It gets the ladies.
Hans Svenland.
Yeah, well done, Hans. Yeah. DM us. We'll get it out to you.
Yeah.
DM the your address, and we'll be sending a sweet zombie deck away
to you
via the mail.
Yeah.
But however, we've sort of found that the local community are very confused about twittering, tweeting,
twerking, twerking. I think that's what twerking is.
Yeah, twerking. So no one that we know or is in the local community wants to twerk with us. Well, you know. So,
idiots.
So what we would like you to do is redirect you to the website, maybe, mm-hmm. and you can leave a comment on anything on there, and we'll run into that. And, you know, say something interesting, we'll read it out, and we'll win a prize in the next podcast.
In the next podcast. What is the next podcast, David?
The next podcast is on space. It's a Seven Land Hand regular. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be on something spacey. Mm-hmm. So we're going to not try and review as many games as we do with zombies. We'll try and go a little bit deeper and a bit more factual mm-hmm. on something space-wise.
What's on the shortlist for the space games?
There's Galaxy Trucker.
Galaxy Trucker, yeah.
Trucker's there.
Do you want to play Twilight Imperium?
Oh, boy, that sounds like a resources one.
It's massive. Takes up a dining room table.
Maybe we'll do a Twilight Imperium episode later.
A few years down the track.
Because it is Christmas and learning things over Christmas.
Oh, no.
You can really only learn when you're sober. And, you know, between now and February the 18th.
it's not looking good for sober learning time.
Days ahead. I'll be working on that number one body expulsion. Yeah, so space in a fortnight, which we would diligently going to be here for.
Yeah.
I can't add a fortnight onto 14 days onto, what would it be, the 22nd of December when this comes out?
29th is 5th of January?
5th of Jan. You can look forward to a space episode coming your way. Maybe 5th or 6th.
Exciting.
Like I said, it's hard to put a podcast out when you're drunk. Mm. Yeah.
Or is it?
It might be more fun.
Well, let's see. Let's see how it pans out. All right, so that was it for tweets. That was it for the website. There's anything else you want to cover? Sam, you want to say hi to your mother?
No, not particularly. I think she'd listen to this. My parents hate magic.
Don't even
my parents aren't a fan. My dad actually walked into the room while I was listening over the podcast, and he said, "Oh, who's that? Oh, that's you. Yeah. What are you talking about?" I was like, "Games." He's like, "Oh, not interested."
I'm out. Yeah. Press the ejection button.
Done.
Gone.
Please leave.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well. Yeah. Well, that's a lot about it then.
Thanks very much to Sam Mavrantanannunis.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Silent S. You're welcome, Sam. It's welcome back anytime when we go a bit deeper on magic next time.
Yeah, we'd love to talk metagames. Yeah, cool. We'll talk about Snapcaster Mage for a whole episode.
Yeah, I think I could do that.
Yeah. Yeah, we're hoping to go deep and drag all of the new players along with us.
Yeah, that'd be great. Drown them in the pool of magic.
Of Nephalia.
While we're leaving, I'll tell you a funny story about a magic card. It's called Invoke Prejudice. And when Magic were designing Invoke Prejudice, they wanted a card that you gain control of something that your opponent can't cast spells unless they do certain things, and so they were like, "We want to like invoke prejudice. It makes it very difficult for your opponent to do it. So certain types of mana are restricted." And so they gave the card description to some people and some artists, and the guy's like, "Oh yeah, I love that. I love that. I'll do this." And they were like, "Yeah, we'll just use whatever artwork this guy gives us. Rush it to the printers." And the dude was a Ku Klux Klan member, and he drew pictures of Ku Klux Klan members with a giant scythe, and that's on the magic card, Invoke Prejudice, and they're about $100 on eBay. So, gotta get one of them for my racist magic card collection. Bye.